Let's open up the service tonight and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you at your throne of grace tonight, Lord, and we ask you all these concerns there on our hearts and minds, Lord. And we ask you to take these petitions and answer them according to your will, Lord. And we thank you that you, the Almighty God, that you oversee everything and you see all, know all, and hear all, Lord, and your omnipresence, Lord. And Father, you here in our service tonight as well as the service overseas that's lifting your name up in prayer and lifting your holy name up in worship, Lord, you're there too. And that's a powerful, awesome God that we serve. And Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would come down and just be with us. Let us be unified in Jesus' name tonight, unified in Christ as believers. And ask that you would bless the reading of your word tonight and bless the speaking of your word. Father, I just pray that people maybe online watching or listening later on in podcasts, Lord, just pray they tune in to hear God, not me, Lord, because I'm nothing, Lord, and just want you to use me as a vessel, Lord, and I just come to you as humble as I know how, Lord, and just use me, guide and direct me in your word, fill me with your Holy Ghost, and to speak thus saith the Lord, and what you've given me to speak on, Lord. And Father, we do pray for our church, pray for our pastor and the leadership here, Lord, to be business meeting for next week, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you would be with us and bless the things that we're talking about, Lord, and upcoming plans or whatever, the Christmas program, Lord. We ask you to be with each and every child and people and adults that's in it, Lord, and just ask that you, may it just be a blessing to you and glorify your name, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We should be thankful for that, Lord, and the blood he shed on Calvary's cross, the repentance of our sins, Lord. And help us die daily and to live more for you, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Luke 14. Luke chapter 14, and we're going to be in 25 through 33. And while you're turning there, we always talk about counting the costs of serving the Lord. A few weeks back, my daughter Bella got saved. She got to asking questions about the judgment house and things. It really worked on her, I think, and playing the parts up here, and she got saved. But I really wanted her to understand what she was getting into. It's not just sometimes I think, like when we go to camp, we preach and teach the gospel, and Luke 14, 14:25. If we don't watch, we can lure kids and sometimes adults into signing a card, praying a prayer, and joining a church or something, and they don't really know what they're getting into because they're driven by emotions. You know, I've noticed that at camp we went to and things. And the last 3 years, I've noticed it's like the same few kids come up every year to get saved, you know. And I've noticed it in concerts I've been to in the past. They give an invitation, talk about the gospel, and flocks of people come up front to know the Lord, you know. And it's easy. We could be easily driven by our emotions if we get to worshiping God, and also we get in reading the Bible. God can convict us in our spirit and our minds to talk to us through His Word. You know, I think just realizing that in myself and Bella getting saved, I wanted her to really understand that, and I got Sammy to help me confirm to her what she was making a decision for, not just because she was crying, not just because she was wanting to be a better person. You know, it's something that God really convicted her about. She knows she, we all know when we come to get, know Jesus Christ, we, I think we should know that we are broken. We know we need something better in our life. Christianity is not just putting on a, like our Sunday duds and coming to church and rest of the week we're back to whatever. It's not, Christianity is not just putting on clothing, or it's, and repentance of our sins is not just a shot in the arm or antidote we just get and it's done. It's our bucket list, you know. It's something we should try, strive for every day. We die every day to ourselves and things. There's some things I might just try to get into tonight in these scriptures. Let's start off Luke 14:25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. That's some tough words. Hate your father, hate your mother, you know. And I got studying that a little bit while back, and from what I know, our love for God, love for Jesus, it should be so exemplatory, so showing in our life, in our service, in our love, in our actions, our everyday life. It, our love for God and Jesus should be shown so much in our life, it should resemble to other people as if we hate others. Get what I'm saying? It's not exactly we hate those people in our life. It's not exactly we hate our mother, hate our father. It's like our love should be on a category for God so high, it exceeds everything else in our life. Our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our children, our husbands. That's how much love, greater love we should have for him. And I think that's what them scriptures are talking about right there. And also a tough thing there is hate ourselves. You know, it's hard to hate ourselves. You think about it. All you see every day on commercials, you look at commercials. Do you want the better you? Do you want to be the better body? Do you want to have the better body in 2018? We can show you how to do it. Take this pill, take this water, do this milkshake, do this energetic program, do this right here. Read this book, self-help, self-understanding, self-esteem. You got bad self-esteem, look bad on yourself, buy this book for $19.95. I can guarantee you, you have a better self-esteem. See what I mean? You see the commercials every day, the infomercials late at night. It's always something wanting you to have a better you or a better self. You know, and we're always geared, they always have a good self-esteem, have pride in ourselves, you know. Sometimes we have a whole lot of pride in ourselves, you know. And sometimes we can put ourselves on a pedestal and everybody else down here, and we're not so hot, if you think about it. We're not so hot. And I put my pants on just like everybody else does. I put my shoes on just like everybody else. I'm no better than anybody else. Nobody. And these scriptures, I do hate myself, because I'm not the Christian that God strives for me to be. I could be an evil person when I want to be. I can say stuff I want to say. If I speak my mind, heart, it may not be what God wants me to say. I got to hold that stuff back. You know, we all got a temper. We all got something we regret. If we don't watch, we can say stuff we regret. We're entitled to anything we want to, you know. But I do hate myself. And I hate myself because I want to choke out the sinful side of Mike Austin and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As I get older, I want that more in my life, because I need to lead by example. I got a family to lead. I got children they look up to me for. I got coworkers that may not be saved. They look unto me. I claim to be a Christian, claim to be this. It's not like It's not like, well, I better watch what I say today, or I need to be good today. When we get in God's Word and strive to be more like Him, He turns that stuff around in us, you know, make us more like Him, you know. If we get in, it's like Gene said a couple of Sundays ago, this Bible right here has got the power to turn a gambler free. It's got a power to turn somebody off pornography. It's got a power to put a marriage back together. It's got the power to put somebody that's drugs, drinking. This book can get them off of it. God's power. You know, it ain't nothing we can do. And coming back to what my first, about leading kids to Christ at camp or adults, a lot of people make a commitment to Christ and they don't know what the cost is. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I know it was in an article 10 or 15 years ago, Billy Graham said it in one of his books, out of all the people in his crusades got saved, he believed only 5% really truly got saved. 5%. Out of all the people that come forward in his crusades, he believed only maybe 5% really got saved. Why is that? And yet we're taught in a culture, you can't judge me. You know, you can't say that I'm not saved or not, you know. But the Bible is a litmus test of are we truly saved or not. Our lifestyle will show, our actions will show. And it's not just, if we feel like that we've got to put on a clothes every day to put on a front in front of people when we go to town or whatever to show we're a Christian, sort of got to check ourselves. That's my convictions, you know. We get more God in us, it's going to come out, you know. He's going to come out somewhere. He's going to come out in our speech. He's going to come out in our actions. He's going to come out in our love. And people who's known us a long time, they're going to see. They should be seeing us growing in Christ, you know. Just like counting the cost here, we're getting ready to talk about. And all right, 27 here. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. All right, I looked that up. It's 6 references where Jesus said, take or bear his cross. Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 10:21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. And Luke 14:27 we just read, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Disciple, that's a part of the word discipline. And that's a good military word, isn't it, Wilson? You had to be, when you joined the military, I guess that taught you a whole lot of stuff. Dignity, respect, discipline, a whole lot of things to help you, and that's helped you be the man you are today, didn't it, Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And disciples. Disciples, are we continuously following Jesus Christ every day? That's me included. We should strive to pick up our cross and following the footsteps of Jesus. A good illustration of that, I remember when I was a little kid, when it snowed, Pa would always go out and get wood. I mean, he'd have two armloads of wood in his hand coming back from the wood pile and be 6 or 8 inches, foot of snow on the ground. And I always remember him taking his footsteps, normal footsteps. But if you take a little kid like Christopher or Bella, to them, the footsteps, I remember walking in his footsteps. It was, if it was planting in a garden, he would always plowing or tilling. He would walk that road and I'd mimic him, mimic Pa walking in the garden. Or if it's walking in the snow, here I little was doing this, trying to keep in his footsteps, trying to stay in his footsteps. Because I wanted to be like my grandpa. I looked up to my grandpa. That's the way we ought to be for Jesus. We ought to look up to Jesus and try to be in his footsteps, try to follow his path. You know, if reading the word, get more, like I said, more we get in the Bible, and it conforms us to the image of Christ. 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I go to Princeton, West Virginia, 2 or 3 times a week, come through, and there's a stretch of 77 that goes through Princeton. And if you get off the second tunnel, the Big Walker Tunnel, and then the next tunnel up is exit 1. I take that one to go 460 all the way to Richlands and Lebanon, Bristol on Thursdays. And I take that exit 2 or 3 times a week. And if you go through there and you go take that first exit and then you go to 460 to Princeton and Bluefield, you'll see a half-finished bridge, and then you get on 460 and look and go towards Bluefield, town of Bluefield. There's a big old humongous long bridge that's completed, but the road is gone. And every time I go through there, and I was thinking about this scripture, and I thought about that. I was like, man, that cost a lot of money for nothing. That giant bridge, 1,000 feet up in the air with 4 lanes highway on it, wasted. Taxpayer dollar for nothing. And you take that exit to get on 460, you can see all the road has disappeared, turned to gravel over the years where it's not used no more. I don't know if it's where they upgraded to meet the link to 77, 52 to 77 or what, but that road is just a waste now. It's turned to dirt. You can see the outlines of the exits, the old exits and things. And I think of that every time. Much like that, we get saved and we trust in what Jesus did on the cross. He died for our sins, shed blood, and we believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for our sins. And it's a shame to some people, that's it. And for me, in my younger years, I was like that. I didn't want to grow. I just knew I was saved. One thing that discouraged me, I couldn't read good, couldn't memorize scripture good, and I'm getting a little better at it. And I used that as a cop-out. And I never forget, Joyce, I worked with Joyce at MW. And I don't know if you remember Margaret Holland. Randy, you might remember her, Margaret Holland. Little black lady, I worked with her. And we listened to gospel music, Christian music, talked about the Bible and things, had little Bible studies at break time. Y'all hot? You mean cut the heat down, Brenda? Y'all good? Okay. I got it on 71 because it was pretty chilly in here when I got here. One thing I never forgot what she's told me. This was like in 99. About 97. She told me, Mikey, you undercover right now, son, but you're going to come out one day. I never forgot what that woman said to me. And it did, and I did not get what she was talking about till years later when I decided to come here and me and Randy started teaching Sunday school together. I started getting in the Word, digging in the Word to learn. Me and Randy was teaching Sunday school, and then I started helping with the youth. And I had to study, make myself approved to teach these kids, you know. And it hit me. I knew what she was talking about. I still had one foot out in the world and one foot on God. I talked to some about Jesus Christ and then go hang out with the wrong crowd just to keep them as a friend, you know. And I never forgot what Margaret said, that you're undercover right now, Mikey, but one of these days you're going to come out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you'll get it one day. She never would tell me what it meant. It took like 5 to 6 years later after I done left MW to know what that was. And that was my picking up my cross and following him moment. And I believe a lot of believers are just stuck. They believe. They know they're going to heaven. They're sincere about it. But they hadn't picked up the cross. They pick it up on Sunday morning. And they pick it up on a Wednesday night. But they lay it back down on Monday. They lay it back down on Thursday night. They lay it back down. Like we hang a hat on the door when we get home. And we put our church clothes back on Sunday morning. They pick up the cross and bring it to church. Everybody here sees it in our fellowship, sees it in our talk, but what does everybody else, like at Walmart or our workplace, see it? What you fakes see? I want people out in the public to see me for who I am in here. I want you folks to see me for who I am out there, like I am here. I want to be authentic. I want to be an authentic believer in Jesus Christ. And I believe once people realize that in their life, I can't judge people's lives. God is the only one who can judge their lives and convict them, you know. But I had my conviction moment, and it took me a time to grow in knowledge and know. And the only reason I had to grow in knowledge is because I had to learn and help and teach Sunday school under Randy and help him, be assistant to him, and gotten the Word and dug. And before you know it, you get in the Bible, and I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't. And I come across some new stuff, and I'm like, wow, this is cool. And apply it to my life, you can see change in your life. You know? It's like we take medicines. The doctor puts us on and prescribes some medicine, and at first we like, I ain't taking this. Our pride is like, I ain't taking this stuff. I ain't took medicine. I ain't ever took medicine all my life. I ain't gonna start now. That's just like this Bible. We read something in here, and it can apply it to our life, and then we're gonna be like, well, I ain't applying that to my life. I'm fine just right where I am. Until we apply it in our life ain't going to change. Until we take our medicine and take it regular, we're not going to change. Our health's not going to change. Just like if we don't get in the Bible every day, pray every day, our spiritual life, our health is not going to change. You know. But Randy's holding his side down over here. Feel like I just need to turn the pulpit around and start to teaching over that way. And let's see, what did I do with that? Just like it said, like Jesus talked about a builder sitting down. First, he counts all the costs. And I think when people get saved, or when we lead somebody to Christ, we need to help them realize, hey, you realize what you're getting into? You realize you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It means you're to be holy, represent him, be representative of Jesus Christ. you should represent him. Whatever you're doing, if it's wrong, you need to stop it. You need to repent it and turn from it. And do you realize what you're getting into? Just like my moment I had to realize when Margaret said I was undercover, it took a day in my life. I finally realized what she's talking about, and I had to take a moment to realize I had to examine my own salvation to make sure I was truly in the faith. And I believe I am. And that's why I want to continue to grow and examine the costs. And I think Gene preached on a certain version of this, evaluating all like Christianity a while back. Just like that builder, he goes through and tallies all the building materials needed, the cost, the nails, for every nail, for every screw, the foundation, the yards of cement to make the foundation. We got to count the cost in our life to know how far am I going with this? Am I in for this for the long haul? Am I in for this for the rest of my life? Am I going to grow in Jesus, or am I going to stay the same? Live in the flesh, not give up the worldly things or particular sins that might be dominant in your life at the time when you got saved. They had to count the cost. And I think when we lead people to Christ, we don't hear much of that. We're too busy trying to get numbers. I think Jesus is interested in quality, not numbers. He'd rather see a quality, authentic believer in Jesus than somebody just, like in Revelation said, lukewarm. Lukewarmness in our life, Jesus would rather just spit us out of his mouth. He'd rather for you be hot for him or cold, dead out in the world, not be both. I was like that for a while. I admit, I was like that for a while. I had to make up my mind. Am I going to strive to be hot for Jesus or cold against him or be out in the world? And that one time in my life, I had to make up my mind. And I realized what Margaret Holland said. I was playing undercover. I was riding the fence. Another illustration here in 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down and first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador or a ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's like somebody that's talking about the ones that we know of. I've known some in my life over the years. They come to church, get saved, here for a few times, then you don't see them no more. They don't go to church ever. They're here for a little while, then they're out. They're gone. It's either they didn't want to grow, either they wasn't saved to begin with, or they're stuck. They believe, they know they're saved, but they don't know how to get in God's word. They don't know how to get, they didn't come and get in the Sunday school, get connected in a group, a class to grow every week. You know, that's why I think it's so hard to get youth here, or kids here. Get them out young, get them growing in the Lord, get them growing and loving God early. You try to get teenagers here and stuff, it's hard. It's hard to get teenagers connected. Because they see Sunday school, well, I didn't put up with middle school and school all week. I'm not coming to Sunday to deal with another day of school. They look at school as like school boring, you know. Yes, we should have games. Yes, we should have things to make it fun. But we got to stick to the Word of God and keep it to them where they, and break it down where they can learn it, but we need to show it to them and get them in the Word of God. It's not all fun and games. It's all serious. We got to get serious, you know. It's like at camp, we have fun and games at camp Tuckaway, and then we have Bible time. We had devotions right after lunch, had chapel time in the morning, group sessions with the kids. Then we had games in the morning, then had breakout sessions after lunch, and God and I time is what they called it, God and I time. And we could choose to be by ourselves and study, but we found that out the kids wasn't really studying, they wanted to play. And so we all decided to get devotions all in one cabin, and that really connected better. And then they had games and things, the lunch, and then games and things, and evening time they had chapel, and come to church, have worship service, preaching, and things, and get them connected, you know. Just like counting the cost of that builder and that king. And I first read that, and I'm like, what in the world is Jesus talking about? King and a war and that resembled to me. And as I got to study on this, it's just like what I said. That person comes, they're ready to dive in, and then once they get in and figure that it's not for them, they go back out in the world. They're ready to charge hell with a water pistol until some adversity comes up in their life or some big thing comes in their life and they need God and they don't know what to do. So they panic and may go back out in the world for a little while or something, you know. And then I found a good reference to that. I found a commentary, that's another word for commentator. Call them commentators. It's always somebody's word again. That's opinion of the Word of God. I learned that from another pastor, commentator. Commentary is like a commentator. It's their opinion. Just like somebody is commentating a WWE match, they're giving their opinion of the match of so-and-so. This is this person giving their opinion of the scripture. And I thought this was pretty cool. It helped me understand this more. The parable of the king going to war continues the theme of the previous parable. Both must count the cost. The king has to estimate men's lives as well as money and equipment. He knows he must have resolve and fortitude to enter the battle. And that's the truth. We got to have fortitude. We got to stay to the mark. We got to stay to the faith. Stay strong. And in times, we have times in our life we get so beat down. It's circumstances. It may be just our health may be failing at times in our life. We could get so beaten down and we feel like we just want to give up. I've been that way. And like I said, what tested my faith was Christopher's surgery. That really shattered me. It broke me. And it also showed me in the aftermath where how God really worked through that. And yes, we got a road to go. I think we're facing speech therapy and things like that with him. But the things you do for him, helping him hear, learn, and just him coming, I watch him come down here and give that children's offering. And that little wiggle, he just goes right back up there, and Linda calls him Critter. And he loves y'all to death. And sign language and things. And he's learning a few words. And just a couple weeks ago, and I said, one morning, I said, Christopher, love you, son. Love you, too. Love you, too. And I say it on the phone. I say, Christopher, love you. Love you, too. Just to hear his voice, man, it just melts your heart, man. And I got to thinking, I said, that's really the first really sentence I've seen him, heard him put together in his voice. His unique voice that God has gave him. First sentence I've heard him say, I love you too. And I remember it was during Judgment House, and I was telling Jen, I said, man, Kenny makes a real good Jesus. And Christopher was playing in front of us. He goes, Jesus, 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 playing with his cards, Jesus, Jesus. Just heard what we was talking. We said, Kenny makes a good Jesus. And he goes, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's picking up on some words and things. Continue to pray for him. And Bella tries to help. Lord have mercy, she tries to help. Aggravates him more or less. But coming back to the scriptures. And the king represents Jesus, who has already counted and paid the cost in his flesh, setting us an example. As king, Jesus must choose just the right people for the battle, those who will listen and obey with determination. He must test the quality of his potential soldiers to determine whether they can be used for such an important task. The king also represents the saints battling against spiritual enemies, Ephesians 6:12, where we fight not against flesh and blood, but the principalities of darkness and evil in the air. In preparation to be kings in the kingdom, the saints must also count the cost of their lives. Solomon says, by wise counsel, wage war. Proverbs 20:18. So with good advice, we must enter upon religious dedication. We must be willing to be driven to triumph over Satan, the world, and our own human nature. Perseverance, endurance, willpower, and willingness to sacrifice all are all traits of a king in time of crisis. And that's from Martin G. Collins, Parables of Counting the Cost. And I thought that was a good, best reference that I could find to help me understand this, what that was talking about. And are we counting the cost? Are we realizing what counting the cost is? And like I said, if you lead somebody to the Lord or talking to somebody about the gospel, help them realize repentance, belief in the gospel. Jesus' words in Mark 1:15 come in the form of an urgent command. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Not only does Christ come to announce the soon coming kingdom of God, in particular to those whom God calls, John 6:44, but also to prepare the elect for their spiritual responsibilities now and in the kingdom. Notice, though, that this emphasizes on repentance, does not end with Christ's death. After his resurrection from the dead, but before his ascension to the Father, he tells his disciples, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Luke 24:46-47. Notice that the following repentance is the remission of sins, which baptism signifies, being a symbolic dying to sin and resurrection to a new life, Romans 6:1-12. This is why on Pentecost AD 31, Peter instructs and assembles the crowd, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. When we made that decision to follow Christ, we made a decision to drop away the old things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For we are new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away. Talks about that. All things are brand new. You know, we're not to even dabble back with our old lifestyle. You know, and like I said, that's here recently in the last few years. Since I've married and got children in my life, you know, it's put a whole new aspect of being a father, being a man, what a man's all about. Like, being a man is not just being all hero and bulky and whatever, you know. You know, being a man is being a man for your responsibilities, take up your things that you need to do, be responsible for your family, be responsible for your kids, be responsible, pay your bills, do the right thing. You know, that's more stuff I understand now, being a man, you know. Not just being the biggest person or the brute or whatever, you know. Spiritual leader of the house, that's what I'm trying to get at. Spiritual leader of my house. I'm not a commander-in-chief. I'm the spiritual leader of my house. I set the tone. I'm supposed to set the tone of Christianity in my house. Jennifer and the kids follow my example. And if I'm not being a good example of Jesus Christ, how can I expect them to be a good example of Jesus Christ? You know, just like out in the world on my job, I'm supposed to show the traits of a Christian. Patience, you know, gifts of the Spirit, you know, integrity, honesty, and things like that. I'm supposed to act accordingly, you know. I'm not supposed to cheat, not supposed to do things I'm not supposed to do. I'm supposed to be the right example. It's all part of counting the cost. Counting the cost, we know what we need to do for Christ. Are you accepting? It's like when you go buy a car, are you accepting these terms? These payments? Are you accepting these terms? Sign, print, date. When you got saved, you signed, printed, dated, committed for the rest of your life, your life to Jesus, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Wilson, would you dismiss us tonight?
Amen.